Get informed, get inspired, and get connected. CannabisRadio.com presents NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. The National Cannabis Industry Association is the only national trade organization representing the businesses of the legal cannabis industry. NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice covers a range of topics, including the rapidly evolving political and policy changes that affect our industry, news and events of importance to cannabis professionals, and features on companies, individuals, and campaigns at the cutting edge of the cannabis industry. NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice begins now.
Hello. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore, and I'm the Deputy Director of Communications at the National Cannabis Industry Association. Wow, it's 2021, and off we go. It's January. There's lots happening. And the year ahead is really something that everyone's excited about, but there's a lot of uncertainty. But in the meantime, we have NCIA members here to share information and keep us going. So in this episode, we're going to be talking with Nick Tennant, the founder of Precision Extraction Solutions, which is a group of passionate and innovative cannabis enthusiasts dedicated to preserving the legacy of one of the world's most relevant extraction equipment and technology companies. Nick Tennant is the founder and CTO of Precision Extraction Solutions, the global leader in cannabis extraction equipment, technology, site planning, compliance, and training. Nick's a cannabis entrepreneur with almost two decades of experience developing and operating companies in the cannabis industry. His work has been featured in hundreds of publications, and his expertise is in cannabis and hemp extraction, code regulation, lab design, extract product and process development, and extraction equipment engineering. Welcome to the show today, Nick.
No, thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Absolutely. So let's start by getting to know you a little bit more, learning about your background. Sounds like you've been doing cannabis industry work for a while. I'd like to hear more about that and what you did before getting involved in cannabis.
Certainly. So I guess let's start from the beginning. I kind of came out of school, high school, that is, just knowing I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I knew that I wanted to build something and really didn't have any motivation to work for anybody else. And it really crafted me to start my first business when I was 17. And I ran those businesses. Those were automotive restoration and automotive services businesses up until I was about 21, 22, at which point I had some family in California and Colorado. And started to look at the cannabis industry, was traveling back and forth a little bit. And obviously in 2008 here in Michigan, which was obviously now about 13 years ago, we passed our law for medical cannabis in Michigan, which is my home state. And that's when I really started to dive super deep into it. I was actually the 40th person to get licensed. So from there, we did commercial growing, we did retail, we did consulting, we did analytical laboratory, you name it. And I've operated in that niche and have a pretty good understanding about that niche of the cannabis industry. About 7 years ago, we ended up looking at extraction as a whole and looking at the parallels to other industries, meaning food and flavorings and aromas and all these other sorts of industries that had extract-based products in them. And we really saw a huge opportunity for cannabis extracts to take over a large portion of the market, which since then, I guess we've been pretty good in terms of our prediction. And, you know, cannabis extracts now occupy about 50% of all retail sales. And so it's been a wild road and we've done well.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that was some great foresight into the extraction side of the industry. I mean, I've been smoking cannabis since about the year 2000, when I was a freshman in college. And, you know, for 15 or more years, it was just put flower in a little pipe and spark your lighter and smoke it. I really didn't get an opportunity to learn and experience extractions until moving to Colorado in 2014, when adult use legal sales went into effect here, thanks to Amendment 64, and I started working for NCIA. So that opened up a whole new world to me, to vape pens, which back then, you know, there were other issues that we'll get into later about what was extracted. But I also wanted to mention, being from Michigan, I think a lot of people don't realize how big of a state Michigan is. And, you know, NCIA staff, when Michigan had had the bill to legalize for adult use, we were looking at that like, that's a big deal. That is a huge state. It's up there with, you know, the top five populations. Let's not forget about Upper Michigan, right? I have family on my father's side of the family in Upper Michigan. He's a Youper. What part of Michigan were you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Metro Detroit. But yeah, your comments, you know, about the overall just momentum of the Michigan market are well-placed, because, you know, we're somewhere between 10 and 11 million people. But what's unique about Michigan is our people have been growing for a very long time. Again, about over a decade at this point. You had a very robust caregiver system that really catalyzed this market. And you also have a very high consumption rate. You know, a lot of people in Michigan consume cannabis. So some key differentiating factors that when you look at some of the data from BDS and so forth, they're looking that this market is going to be driven to about a $3 billion overall market opportunity in just this state alone. So that's absolutely huge to have in our backyard.
Absolutely. Great. So real quick, I wonder if, you know, was this part of a culture that you were happy to support, or is, you know, was this a business opportunity? Some people just have a real personal reason for why they get involved in cannabis, in addition to it being an exciting new industry.
Yeah, so my reasons are not so much personal. It was more of a business opportunity for me, but some of my very closest friends growing up, you know, were very, very close to cannabis for a number of reasons. I had one of my best friends had a disabled brother, and he had been using cannabis for epilepsy and so forth for a long period of time. And he's actually one of the people that taught me a lot about what I know in the cannabis industry, and one of my first business partners also. So, you know, the people that were near to me had, you know, causes that were very close to them. For me, I saw the ability to build a business in a new industry that was uncharted territory, that represented a substantial market and industry opportunity, and ran after it. And since then, I think that it's been a great return on my time and a great direction that overall my life has taken.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. So here we are in 2021, and you're currently the founder and chief technology officer at Precision Extraction Solutions. I think you said the company's based in Michigan also, but tell me more about what's going on today with the company and what you're looking forward to in the future here.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, we've grown our company over the last 5 years to represent what I would argue would be the best client list in the industry. You know, if somebody has a big brand, they are likely a client of ours. We'll just put it that way to make it simple. What we really try to do at Precision is we really try to understand where the technology is heading, where the consumer trends are heading, how we're going to take these individual molecules from the cannabis plant, isolate them, and create new and better products for consumers. Also, what we're really looking at is pharmaceutical aspects of the business, and how are we isolating these individual molecules of the plant, recombining them to make stable pharmaceutical medicines, and working with some pharmaceutical partners. And there's actually 152 active clinical trials right now from pharma companies. So I think what you're going to see is a large, large push towards using these compounds found in the cannabis plant to treat, prevent, and cure a lot of human disease and condition. So when we look at our business overall, part of it is doing well and doing good, but really understanding where the future of cannabis is headed and how we're extracting and isolating these molecules and how we're correspondingly creating the right technologies to be ahead of the trend.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for breaking that down. There's a lot of excellent technology coming into the cannabis industry that I miss seeing on the expo floors. I miss walking around and checking out the extraction equipment and various pieces of technology. So look forward to getting back to that. In the meantime, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll come back and chat more about extraction. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
Elevate your everyday with that Shuggies feeling, with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee. Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoggies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat.
Get informed, get inspired, and get connected with more of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore, with the National Cannabis Industry Association, and I'm chatting with one of our members, Nick Tennant, from Precision Extraction Solutions. So I mentioned before, extraction as a method of consuming cannabis versus smoking the green flower out of a glass bowl or a pipe or a rolled joint, which I'm not very good at doing, or baked into edibles, which I'm getting really good at doing. Extraction is kind of new in the grand scheme of cannabis consumption, maybe the last 10 years or so. But let's talk about why this form of the product is valuable and trending for consumers, and how it looks for the producers of these extraction products as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many aspects to extraction, but I guess I'll hit some of the key points here. So the first one is the repeatability and the replicable nature of an extract. So when we're talking about creating an edible, as you just kind of alluded to, you know, there has to be a set THC dosage in each one of those edibles. We can't have it, you know, 300 milligrams one time and 5 milligrams the next and bouncing all over and having different cannabinoid profiles and so forth. So by molecularly isolating these molecules, be it Delta 9 THC, or if it's a ratio of THC to CBD, or it has CBG in there, we want that cannabinoid profile to be replicated through our product every single time.
Right.
And in order to do that, we need to isolate those molecules to a purified form where they're stable to be reinjected back into those products. So you see this a lot with edibles. You see a lot with items that need to be dosed, such as topicals, swabs, transdermals, things like that. You also see it in the consistency and flavor profiling when they're reintroducing flavor profiling to like vape pens and things like that. So I think that the consistency is a big part of it. The second thing is just the sheer option of consumption that you can create. So whether it's live resin or sauce or butter or wax or whatever it is, you can essentially purify the native essence of the plant. So when we're extracting, we're not just taking the cannabinoids. Oftentimes we're taking all of the terpenes, all of the flavors and smells of that plant and reconstituting them into a purified form. And what that does from a consumer standpoint, if you're actually smoking that, is you're bypassing a lot of the undesirable constituents of the plant that would be combusted, say if you're smoking a joint or if you're smoking a bowl. So mainly some of those things would be like the chlorophylls and the cellular structure of the plant, right? We don't want to smoke those necessarily, right? They put off a adulterated taste, adulterated smell, flavor, byproduct that's undesirable is really mm-hmm. the best way that we can categorize that. So by creating these extractions, we can create all these different types of stable products that have better flavor profiles that are more desirable to consume. And I think that's why you're seeing the breakdown between flour and concentrate at a 50-50 ratio in the retail market right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in addition to less, you know, scent around the person smoking, because the vapor has significantly less odor, it's also just quite discreet, to be honest. It's nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's excellent.
I mean, as great as vaping in, I would be remiss to not mention the vaping crisis from, gosh, how long ago was that? A year or so ago, where yep. the unregulated products were making it out to the market, making people sick. Would you say that's an anomaly? And how did that impact vape sales during that time? And you know, it makes me think about, did it affect overall popularity of the product? And more importantly, how we can prevent a situation like this, aside from demanding regulated lab-tested products?
Yeah. So there's a big world that we can jump into here, but I'll try to keep it as simple as possible. So starting with, you know, what caused the vape crisis, obviously you have a lot of unregulated production in the cannabis space, meaning people can combine different constituents, whether it's vitamin E acetate or polyethylene glycol or all of these cutting agents with the actual cannabinoids that have been extracted and then put them in a vape pen and put them on the shelf. And when you look at other industries like supplement manufacturing or pharmaceutical, that's absolutely not the case. You can't do that. It has to be tested. It has to be put through what's called CGMP, current good manufacturing practices, mm-hmm. so that things are traceable. And we know that we're putting, or the industry or the manufacturer knows that they're putting a safe product onto the shelf. In addition to having the safe product onto the shelf, they're also actually testing these products. And if there is an issue, they can trace that all the way back down the production line through the CGMP process. So I think what you're going to see is you're going to see the CGMP and GMP process integrated into the cannabis industry rather rapidly over the next 12 to 24 months. And we already see states like Michigan putting memorandums out through their marijuana regulatory agency with GMP language in them. So I think this is going to be a train that's going to come to the station faster than many production outfits anticipate, and therefore they should absolutely be prepared. And when we look at some of the historical issues that have caused these, whatever you want to call them, cross-contamination or health issues with the consumption of cannabis products, they would 100%, all of them would have been mitigated by having a GMP manufacturing standard in place for the production of cannabis products, the same way every other single supplement on the shelf, if you go buy vitamin C, it's the exact same standard, right? Which allows this traceability. It allows the audit of the facility. It makes sure that there's no cross-contamination. One of the big issues with the vape pens is cross-contamination mm-hmm. with the actual cartridge leaching into the oil that's in the cartridge, and then that making people sick also. So again, mm-hmm. there's methodologies to mitigate these.
Sure, sure. And I think some of these issues, like I think the vitamin E acetate issue from before, that came from not licensed manufacturers. These were truly illicit market, and illicit market people do not use CGMPs typically. They are the illicit market. So, but when we're talking about a cartridge, for example, you know, leaking or having that, like that could happen in a licensed regulated facility as just a course of doing business, right? But again, you're saying putting extra care as a licensed, regulated business owner can prevent these, you know, well-intentioned things from happening as well. Got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. So, I mean, overall, vaping and extraction is super popular among consumers. It's convenient, it's discreet, it's compact. My boyfriend got me my own dab rig for Christmas finally. And, you know, I've got it all balanced out with my vape pen. So what else are you seeing with consumer trends and extraction along this vein?
Yeah, sure. So we're seeing a big, big resurgence in water hash. So if you think about the typical, you know, a decade or more ago, in some cases back in the 70s, some people will remember a lot of like the Moroccan hashes and things like that. We're seeing a lot of the non-solvent based extraction technologies start to make a resurgence. And we're seeing a lot of these, again, whether you want to call them legacy products or artisanal type products, these hash makers making these products and seeing a very large resurgence in that. And we think that that's a trend that'll continue. We also see a lot of trends surrounding the hydrocarbon side. The hydrocarbon side, you know, hydrocarbon from a solvent standpoint is one of the best solvents to use because it chemically extracts all of the desirables from the plant and leaves behind almost all of the undesirables. And it allows us to create a very native purified extract that is really a good representative concentrated sample of the actual essence of the flower that's coming off of the plant. So we see those two trends continuing to rise and take market share within the extraction space.
Gotcha. Thanks for the insight there, for sure. Let's take our last commercial break and then come back and wrap up our chat with Nick from Precision Extraction Solutions. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
Get informed, get inspired, and get connected with more of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio, wrapping up our chat with Nick Tennant from Precision Extraction Solutions. And I was mentioning earlier in the show how much I really miss walking the expo floor of our trade shows. COVID-19 has been going on for about 10 months now. We are really hoping to have in-person events again as the trade association that represents the legal regulated industry. At this stage, in August of 2021, we are planning to host two events. Hopefully our 7th annual, what would have been last year, Cannabis Business Summit and Expo, our bigger show. Also, a Midwest Cannabis Business Conference as well in Detroit. We're really, really crossing our fingers about getting those vaccines out there, getting back out there into networking events, our regional networking events, the cannabis caucuses and industry socials. Those were a lot of fun as well. In the meantime, we've been hosting a lot of online webinars every single week, some of which are complimentary for NCIA members, some are exclusive for NCIA members as well. So be sure to head to thecannabisindustry.org to check out more info about that. Nick, I know you've probably walked our expo floors in the past and probably feel the same way I do, that we just kind of can't wait to get back there and interact with our fellow industry professionals.
100%. Yeah. You know, we've not done as poorly as obviously many businesses during the pandemic. We've actually done quite well. And my heart goes out to those small businesses that have been kind of lost in this mix. Yeah. But it has been a substantial challenge to facilitate our business when we are limited on the face-to-face time with our clients. It's a very intimate mm-hmm. relationship that we have with our clients, and I'm very much looking forward to the world going back to normal.
Right, absolutely. So do you have any predictions for how the rest of this year is going to go? I know these first couple weeks here are probably not creating the kind of environment where we feel confident about the future in any way, shape, or form. But as far as the cannabis industry goes, is there anything in your foresight about what you expect to see between now and the end of the year, and maybe as this new 117th Congress takes their seats?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, as it stands right now, we have a Democrat-dominated Congress. And what that really is going to catalyze is a rapid path to legalization. I think that federal legalization is looming at this point, and we'll have to put some more construct around when that timeline might be. Obviously, it takes some time to implement things like that, but that's a distinct possibility in the next 24 months that may happen. And in light of that, I think there's a lot of investors that share that same sentiment. Mm-hmm. And what we're really seeing is we're seeing a lot of investment activity heating up, whether it's through SPACs or through private equity. We're seeing massive inflows, not unlike, you know, how we saw in Canada a couple of years ago, coming into the cannabis space. So I think that now more than ever is an excellent time to be in the cannabis industry. You know, we absolutely have an industry that's going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to be looked upon favorably by the lawmakers, at least at this point. And I think it represents nothing but a robust opportunity going forward.
100%. Yeah, I think we made some great progress. Our government relations team works very hard on behalf of the industry year round, even during a pandemic. Michael Correa, Michelle Rutter, Maddie Grant are in DC still advocating for our industry, just virtually, more emails and phone calls, less in-person meetings on the Hill. And I do want to quickly thank Forefront Ventures and Greenbridge Corporate Council for becoming diversity, equity, and inclusion program sponsors with NCIA. Our DEI program has given over 100 scholarships to social equity applicants in the cannabis industry, giving them a first free complimentary annual membership to NCIA to help them as they're starting their business. So thanks to those two companies, Forefront and Greenbridge, for your sponsorship. And if you're interested, any listeners, in joining those companies in becoming a sponsor of our diversity, equity, and inclusion program, please head to our website, thecannabisindustry.org, to learn more information. Nick, it's been a pleasure chatting with you today, and hopefully I get to see you on an expo floor or in a hotel lobby bar somewhere in some city across the U.S. and say hello to you in person, maybe from 6 feet apart, but hopefully sometime in 2021. In the meantime, where can people find out more about Precision Extraction Solutions?
Sure, they can go to precisionextraction.com. We've got a great YouTube page. It's got several hundred hours of video of me talking about various topics in the extraction industry. So I think it's an excellent resource. And they can also give us a call at 855-420-0020.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being on the show. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.